Back in the saddle again. Back in the saddle again.
Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is heaven bound.
You should come too.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today, we're recording episode number... Which one is it?
Number 14.
No, which one is it?
Number 14.
Say 22.
22.
There we go. We practiced that before we started, but it didn't last very long. Episode number 22, and today my co-host is going to be Michaela. How are you doing today, Michaela?
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine? I'm glad to hear it. What have you been up to?
My bunny.
Your bunny?
Yeah.
What about your bunny?
Yeah.
What about it?
Yeah.
Just yeah?
Yeah.
Do you love your bunny?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your bunny's name?
Minnie Mouse Bunny.
You're silly. We have a real bunny. Actually, that's Taylor's bunny. What's her bunny's name?
No, that's my bunny.
No, it's Taylor's bunny. She got it for her birthday. What's the bunny's name? Is it Fluffy?
Yeah.
Did we get to share Fluffy on Saturday?
Yeah.
Where did we bring Fluffy to share so other kids could see Fluffy? Do you remember where what we came to on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. What? Celestia!
Well, we brought Celestia too. What is Celestia? What is she?
She's a baby chick.
She's a chicken. Why did we bring Fluffy and Celestia to the church building Saturday?
Because she was nice.
Because she was nice. We had VBS on Saturday.
Yeah!
And one of the teachers talked about Noah and the ark that he built. And what did Noah put on that ark?
Animals.
Animals. And so we had some real animals up at the building for the kids to see. There were, we had a chicken and a rabbit, and there was a goat and a duck and puppy dogs and kitty cats and all sorts of stuff. And it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we had a good day at VBS, and you got to share Fluffy and Celestia with the other kids to come see the animals, some of the animals that got on the ark, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And what have you been doing at home this week? Did you start school this year?
Yeah,
is school going well?
Yeah.
What did you do in school today?
Circle the duckies.
Did you circle the duckies?
Yeah.
Did you have to count them or just practice circling them?
Practice circling them.
Okay, are you learning to count also?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you learning memory verses?
Yeah.
Why don't you see if you can say your memory verse? We're doing all our memory work from the book of Philippians this year.
Paul,
go ahead.
Timothy.
Sit still.
And Christ Jesus. Through all the things are in Philippi, including himself and deacons.
Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah.
Glue and?
Grace.
Grace to you, our Father, our God, and peace for the Lord, our Father.
Uh-huh. I thank
my God, my remembrance of you.
Yeah.
Always. Prayer with joy, and my testimony, and my gospel. And first day until now.
Uh-huh. Do you know the next one? I don't know if you got farther than that. For I am
confident in the gospel. And the first day until now.
I'm confident of this very thing. that he who began a good work in you will
perfect it,
perfect it
in my house.
Until the day of Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's six whole verses from Philippians chapter 1. For lads to leaders, to get the Centurion of Scripture Award, we have to memorize 100 verses, and you have to be able, for the bronze, the third place award, you have to be able to say them in 10 verses at a time. And the book of Philippians is just a little over 100 verses. I forget, it's like 104.
Yeah. Or 100, we can do that.
Or 105 verses, maybe.
But we can bring a pink ball.
Okay, let Daddy talk for just a minute. So we're working on memorizing the book of Philippians, and we can either do it 10 verses at a time for bronze, or 50 verses at a time, two times for silver, or all 100 verses all at once for gold, but that's going to be really hard. But Taylor has, I think, the first 7 verses down, and Michaela does a pretty good job on the first 5 verses, and so we're working on them, and I'm excited because they're learning Scripture, and that's a great thing to learn. So Michaela's going to be my co-host today, and we are in Luke chapter 5, and we missed a couple of weeks again because we had so much going on. I was gone to another week of camp. And then as soon as I got back, I was gone with the high school kids to a trip down to Texas to a ball game and a theme park. And we spent a couple of days down there. And as soon as we got back, we had VBS. And we just finished it up. And so now we are back in the saddle again, as the girls were saying when we opened up. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. And this is a really neat story. Well, I did it again. I said story. This is a really neat account of something that happened. It says, it's neat for several reasons. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, talking about Jesus, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So he's walking close to the sea, and there's so many people that are coming to hear him, and they're crowding around so close because they want to hear. Have you ever been in a big crowd of people and you're trying to hear what the guy up front says?
Yeah.
And people are talking? Yeah. I wasn't asking that for you to answer. I was asking that for our listeners to think about. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. You're cute, though. And when there's a big crowd of people together, even if they're trying to be quiet, when there's a lot of people, they're usually not very quiet because they're moving and they're wiggling and they're walking. And if one of them didn't hear something, then he'll start talking because he'll ask the person next to him, what did he say? And they'll say, I don't know. I can't hear because you were talking to me. And there's just, when there's people, there's noise, even if they're trying to be quiet. And so they're all pressing in as close as they can, trying to get close so they can listen. And so they're getting so close, trying to hear what Jesus has to say, because there's so many of them. I can just envision that Jesus was probably standing in ankle-deep water already. And people weren't trying to push him out into the water, but the ones in the back are trying to get closer, and they don't know if Jesus is already in the water yet or not, and it's just the crowd keeps pushing in. And so Jesus is looking around trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Why did the crowd get in?
Well, the crowd came together because they wanted to hear Jesus teach the Word of God. Do we like to listen to the Word of God?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they wanted to hear it too. And they didn't have a Bible to take home and read. And so they came to hear what Jesus was going to tell them. And so Jesus is looking around, and there's a lot of things he could have done. He could have just walked across the water in front of them, and they wouldn't have been able to follow him very far, or they'd have been swimming. But he looked around, and it says he saw two boats sitting at the edge of the lake. And the fishermen that those boats belonged to were already done fishing, and they were cleaning their nets so they could put them away. And so Jesus got in one of those boats. It wasn't even his boat. Do you think he knew the people that owned them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We're going to find out who they are in a minute. And we talked about this before, but I think that they knew who Jesus was, but they're going to be so impressed by what he does, this is going to help convince them to follow him. So look and see what happens. He got into one of those boats, and it belonged to Simon Peter. And he asked him, pull out just a little way from the land. We're not going to go far. We're not going for a ride. We're just going to scoot out far enough that all this crowd of people are not going to just push me off in the water.
There's now, no crowd.
Yeah, there is a crowd. There's a big crowd, and they want to hear the word of God, remember? Hey, what did they want to hear?
The crowd.
What did the crowd want to hear? The word of?
The word of Jesus.
That's right. And you know what? John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus made everything. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later in chapter 1, it says that Word became flesh and dwelled among us. So we know it's talking about Jesus. But back at the beginning of chapter 1, it says that the Word made everything, and nothing has been made unless Jesus is the one that made it. So, Michaela, who made everything?
Jesus,
that's right. Good. Look here. Listen. So if Jesus made everything, then who made the land?
Jesus.
And who made the water?
Daddy.
No. If Jesus made everything, then who made the water?
Jesus.
That's right. If Jesus made the water, do you think he knows all about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Water does something that's really neat. If I get really far away from you and I try to talk to you, can you hear me?
Yeah.
If I'm really far away, you can't hear me. If I'm real far away and I'm talking, you might see me and you might see my mouth moving, but the sound is not going to make it all the way there because sound goes everywhere and sometimes it absorbs into things and sometimes it bounces off things. Well, you know what? Something really neat happens when we're around water. The next time we go fishing, we're going to try this. Sit still. The next time we go fishing, we're going to get across the water, and I'm going to talk, and you'll be able to hear me really good. You know why?
Yeah.
Sound travels across the top of the water, just like a boat travels across the top of the water. And if you're talking and there's water in front of you, it makes the sound that comes out of your mouth go farther so more people can hear. Now, why were the crowds of people pressing in around Jesus real close? What were they trying to do? They were trying to hear him, weren't they?
They were trying to hear them.
Yeah. So Jesus didn't have a microphone like we're recording on right now. This microphone helps people hear us. But Jesus didn't have a microphone like this. But since he created everything, he knew that water would work kind of like a microphone. And so he got in a little boat and he pushed out just far enough that all the people could get real close to the shore. And he could get a little ways away. And the water would help his voice spread so everybody could hear the word of who?
Jesus.
The words of Jesus. So look here, let's get back chapter 5. It says, he got into the boat, he went a little ways out from land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Where was Jesus?
In the boat.
Jesus was in the boat. And the boat was in the water. And all the people were standing on the beach at the edge of the water so they could hear. Now, we don't know all the things that he told them, but it says in verse 4, when he finished speaking, you know one of the things that Jesus always liked to do? He would find somebody that he could help. If somebody was sick, he would heal them. Or if there was a demon, he would cast it out. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago. And when he did those things, those are called miracles. And people knew, that's not normal. Everybody else can't do that. There's something special about Jesus. That's why he would do those miracles. Yeah. What did he do?
He jumped in the water.
Well, he did miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah, what did he do?
He did miracles.
Miracles. And that showed people that he was really from God, didn't it?
Yeah.
So his miracles showed people he was from who? God. God sent him.
God.
And God let him do those miracles. So he's going to do a miracle now because everybody's there listening, and he wants them to know they can believe the words that he said. So in verse 4, he told Simon, put out into deeper water and let your nets down for a catch. In verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and we didn't catch anything. And not only did they work hard all night and didn't catch anything, but they already came back in. They already parked their boats. They probably already unloaded their stuff. They were sitting cleaning their nets, getting ready to put them away. If he goes and throws the nets in the water to try to catch more fish, then when he's done, he's going to have to bring them in, and he's going to have to clean them all over again and sort them out. And so usually when you're done and you're already cleaning something up, you don't want to go do it again.
And no.
And especially when they've been trying all night and didn't catch anything. He said they've been fishing all night long and they didn't catch anything. He said, Jesus, there's not any fish here. They're not biting today. Well, it wasn't biting anyway because they were using a net. But that's what we would say today. The fish aren't biting. He would have said, well, they're not swimming under our boats today. They're hiding somewhere else. We can't catch them. But notice the next thing that he says. Verse 5, Simon said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But, he said, I will do as you say and let down the nets. What did Simon say? He said, even though we haven't caught anything all night, I will do as you say. Yeah. So, Jesus said, let down your nets. Simon said, I want to obey you, Jesus. Yeah, is that what he said?
Sure.
Okay, you don't have to repeat everything I say. You just answer me when I ask a question, okay? This co-host thing is kind of new for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're so cute, though. You're doing a good job. So Simon says, I will do what you said, Jesus. Even though we were here all night and nothing else worked, Simon probably saw Jesus do some miracles before. And Simon probably said, we'll see something really neat happen if I just do what he told me to. And so verse 6, when they had done this, they obeyed and they got their nets out and they threw them out into the water. And as they pulled them back in, it says they caught so many fish. Verse 6, their nets begin to break. They were so full of yummy fish, their nets weren't even strong enough to bring them in. And so verse 7, they had to signal their partners in the other boat, hey, come give us a hand. This big old, our net's going to break and it's about to turn our boat over. Do you know what the word capsize means?
Yeah,
it means for a boat to turn over. They were thinking, we're going to capsize because we're pulling so hard on this net and it's just going to dump our boat straight over. And so it says their partners in the other boat came out and they started helping them. And it says they filled up both boats full of fish. And those boats were so heavy, the boat started sinking. They had to paddle back to shore as fast as they could just so their boats wouldn't sink. Now, if you were a fisherman, that was a good day of fishing, especially to do it all at once. You're not worried about your nets breaking and you're not worried about your boat almost sinking when when you make it back with that many fish, because you can go to the market and you can probably get a good paycheck. You might even be able to take a couple of days off.
And when you get in the beach.
And when you get in the beach, when they made it back to the beach, yeah. So verse 8, when Simon Peter saw what happened, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, Jesus, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. You know what that means? Peter said, Jesus, you're so awesome. You're so amazing. You're so incredible. I don't even deserve to be hanging around you. I'm not even good enough to be your friend. That's what he was saying. Was that true? No, Jesus wanted Peter to be his friend, and he's going to invite him in a minute to help him go teach people. But Peter said, man, what I just saw, that's so cool. That's so amazing. I don't know, maybe they weren't going to take the fish into the market. Maybe Jesus was going to let the crowd all get a couple of fresh fish to take home. It doesn't tell us what happened to the fish. But Peter was so impressed by what Jesus did. Peter said, wow, I'm not even good enough to hang out with you. It says, verse 9, amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. They caught so many fish that this has never happened to us before. Have you been fishing before, Michaela?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you catch a fish?
Yeah.
Well, we went just a couple of weeks ago.
I got a bass.
Well, Taylor got a bass, and you got to see it. And you got to go fishing with us, but you didn't catch one that trip. But we went fishing. We were out there maybe an hour, hour and a half.
And Pete just came.
Yeah, Mr. Pete, that he let us fish in his lake, and he came down to visit us, didn't he?
Yeah.
And we were there for a little while, and we caught one fish. One. And it wasn't very big. It was a cute little fish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Taylor caught that largemouth bass. And that's the only one we caught. What if we had gone down there and if we caught like 300 fish and they had so many of them we couldn't even put them anywhere and they were flopping all over the place and they wouldn't be still and we couldn't even reel them in fast enough? That would have been awesome, huh?
Yeah.
Would that have been cool?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen to us, but that's what happened to Peter and to his friends. They said, we caught so many fish. That was amazing. We've never seen anything like that before. And so it says in verse 10, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were the ones that were Peter's partners. And so Jesus said to Peter and to James and John, do not fear. Why did he tell Peter not to fear?
Because he was busy and obey.
Yeah, Peter thought, I don't even belong anywhere near Jesus. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. That means I'm not good enough. I don't need to be hanging out with Jesus. He needs to find better people. And he might have been a little scared because all those fish almost sank his boats and everything. But Jesus says, you know what? You don't worry about being a sinful person because Jesus has an answer to sin, doesn't he? And he said, you don't worry about thinking you're not good enough to be with me. Jesus said, I think you are good enough to be with me. And Jesus said, I think you're going to be a good helper. And he tells him in verse 10, do not fear, from now on, you're going to help me catch men instead of fish. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're going to go find people swimming and try to catch them in their nets. It means they're going to go tell people the gospel, the good news about Jesus. He said, instead of trying to catch fish, you're going to help me go tell people about God and about heaven and about the church that Jesus is going to build. And he told Peter, you're going to be my helper. Now, do we sometimes do bad things?
No.
Never?
Ever.
Have you ever done something bad?
No.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do bad things sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Do we sometimes disobey?
No.
We're not supposed to, are we? But we do sometimes, don't we? Uh-huh. And sometimes we feel bad when we disobey because we're sorry. And that's good. We need to be sorry. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, it's okay. I still want you to be my friend. And I still want you to be my helper. Do you want to be Jesus's friend?
Yeah.
Do you want to be his helper?
Yeah.
Do you know what he wants us to help him do? Tell other people about him. And that's what he told Peter. He said, don't worry, Peter. All these people that came to hear what I had to say today and that got to see this cool miracle of catching all these fish. He said, Peter, you're going to help me go find more people just like them. And we're going to go tell everybody. So, Michaela, let's go tell everybody about Jesus. What do you think? Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. High five. Good job. Well, Michaela, do you want to tell our listeners anything else?
No.
No, is that all?
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully, summer crazy schedule is over, and hopefully we will get back in our weekly routine And hopefully next week Taylor will be here, and maybe I'll have both of them together. I'd like to try to do this more, although Michaela still doesn't really sit still. But she's cute, and she does a good job, so we're going to keep trying for a little while. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. We're going to sign off of this portion, and I'll be back after a while to talk about some other things. All right, moving on with part two of our podcast for this week. And here's something that it was just kind of a neat thing that happened that I wanted to remember and share. We had some of our teenagers spend a week each. The girls spent a week at a program called the Future Teachers Training Camp. And then a couple of weeks later, our boys went back and participated in a Future Preachers training camp. And these camps, it's a week-long, pretty intense camp. It's not the typical summer camp where you go sleep in cabins and stay up late and eat a lot of junk food and play sports and swim and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. They have a little bit of time for activities, but they spend time in Bible class most of the day. Different Bible classes. They have guest speakers that come in. The boys spend time studying and preparing, writing a sermon during the week. At the end of the week, they all deliver that sermon. The girls are not practicing sermons, but teaching classes and learning just incredible ways to do visual aids when you're working with younger kids, and just really neat programs. And I was super excited that we had several of our kids go participate in these. And both camps this year had a focus on evangelism and sharing the gospel with others. And one of the young girls that came, she's 13, came back, and within a week or two of being there, had the opportunity, just a family friend with a different set of beliefs, made a comment about something, and the girl said, talking to her later, said, for the first time, you know, I noticed when something that did not seem biblical was said, and I had the confidence to ask about it and to go and find some verses to share with this person. And it was a 13-year-old girl studying with an adult. And the comment that was made, she said, well, that's interesting. Do you mind if I ask you some questions about that? She said, sure. And in a very polite and investigative way, explored why this adult believed certain things and remembered some of the scriptures and knew how to find some of the others to show her, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that here. It says this, you know, what do you think that means? And just going through it, and just really, really neat opportunity for this girl. And the mother was excited and came and told us, I'm so glad that she got to go to this camp, and I'm so glad to see her coming out of her shell and not being intimidated to speak to someone else about this. And she was just so excited, and she came and she told my wife all about it. And my wife came home and told me, and of course we were excited for this family and for this girl to step out and take part in that. And then later, because the mother hadn't told me directly, she just told my wife. Later, when she saw me, she wanted to tell me again. And even though I knew the story, I listened and was excited to hear it again as well. And the girl came up herself and told us, you know, I'm so excited I got to do this. And it was really neat. But the mother, after, you know, we had heard, or after I had heard two or three times the story, the mother just said, I'm sorry. I don't mean to just keep bragging on my children. I'm just excited that they're doing something, you know, like that. And I don't mean to keep taking your time. And I was like, man, that there's something, you know, I told her, don't apologize for that. Because there is something huge going on that is helping in the training of their children. And I can remember growing up and wanting my dad to be excited about something that I did, you know, what, even if I didn't even do it very good. You know, when I was little, I might try to build something, and it might have looked terrible, and it might not have worked. But when you get to the end of that project and you're satisfied with it, You want to show somebody, and you want them to say, oh, that's wonderful, that's good, you did such a good job. And I can remember being excited and getting approval from my parents. And we brag on them for so many things. You know, people come and they're telling how well their kid did at the ball game last week, or they're telling, you know, how well they did at their speech competition in 4-H, or when they were around here, when they were showing their animals at the fair and telling how well they did. And they know they did well, and they know that we approve because we spend time talking and bragging about them. And so those things become very important to them. Most of the time, when you have a youngster that really commits a lot of time and energy into something, it probably came from someone they respect. And most of the time, especially if they're very young, that probably came from their parents. When dad is a diehard football fan and has a certain team that that he just really roots for, and you have the posters and the car stickers and things that go for that team, most of the time the kids are pretty diehard fans as well. And the reason for that is not really because the kids know enough to choose that team over all the other teams. It's because they see dad getting excited about something and they want to be excited with him. And when they say, you know, go Sooners or go Thunder or go Cowboys or go whoever, and dad gets excited, yeah, that's my boy or that's my girl, you know, that's the team we root for, and they get that approval, that makes them feel good, so they're going to keep doing it. And so we mold these little athletics fans, you know, because we're bragging on them and because we have something in common. And I just thought, don't ever apologize for coming and bragging to me more than one time about your children. And she wasn't apologizing. She felt bad for it. She would just, you know, I know I've told you this before, and I'm not trying to take all your time telling you the same story over and over. I just can't stop talking about it. And I told her, that's good. Don't stop talking about it, because it's going to make her feel good that she has gained approval, that it's something that you find important enough to brag about, that it's something that you care about, it's something that you're proud of her for. And we need to show that. And it just got me thinking, we brag on our kids for a lot of things. But do we brag on our kids because they memorize scripture well? Do we brag on our kids because they pay attention in class and they answer questions? We had our VBS. I'm going to brag on my girl. We had our VBS last week. And at the end, I was going to each of the classes and trying to get them to summarize what their class had been about, to see what they could remember, what they could tell me about it. And my girl was the one answering all the questions. And sometimes you think, okay, you know, that's good. Let somebody else have a turn. And you want them to not be the conversation hog. But at the same time, I want her to know, I'm glad you were listening. I'm glad you were paying attention. That's important to me. And so good job. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of that. I'm going to brag about it and turn around and tell somebody, hey, did you know that was my kid answering the questions? And the day that we become the kind of people that don't want to brag about our kids for spiritual things is the day that our children's future dims a little bit, I think, because they want so badly for us to be involved with them, for us to approve of them, for us to be excited about the things they do. And we do approve and we do get excited about a lot of things they do. Make sure that is the case with spiritual things as well. When they say a very well thought out and thoughtful prayer, when they do something that is really good, when they take time to sit and read the Bible, or when they remember, hey, we're trying to figure out the answer to this question, let's look in the Bible. Brag on them. That is part of building those habits. That is part of building those disciplines within the home. And we need to be bragging on our kids, and we need to be showing them that those things are important as well. So that's my tip that I wanted to share for you this week. Pay attention to the things that your kids are doing that are enhancing their spiritual life, and brag on those things. Brag on them until the cows come home. Let them know that's something that you're really proud of, that you approve of. Let them feel good about succeeding in those areas as well. And I would say brag on them more for those kinds of things than you do for hitting the baseball or running their track meet the fastest or playing their concert with their musical horn. Those are all great things, and those are all developing them physically in different ways. But make sure you're bragging on them spiritually as well. Brag on the things that they do. Let them know that that's important, because they're going to love that, and they're going to try even harder to do that, to continue that good feeling and that acceptance and that approval from you. So make sure you're giving them those things. So that's my tip. And again, as always, thank you so much for listening. You can find other episodes and show notes on heavenboundpodcast.com. You can subscribe to our show so the shows show up on your computer or MP3 audio player automatically. You can find us in iTunes, the Zune, or Xbox Marketplace, and also on the Stitcher network for Android. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, have a blessed week.